Well, it's the last Sunday of August and the final at bat for those who have been interns here at Mountain View for this summer. And I wanted to have each one of these guys have two times to preach. And actually, Dave is kind of disadvantaged. The last time he spoke in the park, which was kind of a challenge, you know, when you're speaking to a group that's coming and going and the kids are playing and some people bring their dogs. I mean, can you? Who brings their dog to church? Oh, wait a minute. That's right. I did. But it was kind of a challenge speaking in that context. And so it's one more opportunity for Dave to bring the Word of God to us this morning. So, Dave, would you come? And you as a church, would you prepare your hearts to hear the Word of God?
All right. Well, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James, the end of the book of James, you'll find James, it's a skinny little book, but full of good stuff towards the end of your Bible. James chapter 5, it'll be from 13 to the end. While you're finding that, I'll tell you a story. The story is told of an older gentleman, an earlier generation, who used to get up regularly at his church's prayer meetings, regular attender, and he would stand up his church and pray, "Use me, O Lord, use me." Good prayer. But he would finish up with, "Use me in some advisory capacity." Not a bad prayer. It's good for us, for God to use us in our church. But we want to look today at the end of the book of James and effective prayer and how we can pray more effectively to our God. So read with me, if you will. James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Verse 16, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. For 3 years and for 6 months, it did not rain. There was no rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." Verse 19, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Would you pray with me? Father God, as we open your word this morning and look at what James has written in regards to prayer and confession of sin and encouraging each other, just ask that you would speak through me, Father. Calm my nerves and use me as a tool for your glory. Just pray that your message is clear today and that out of this we would be encouraged and convicted of our need to spend time in prayer with you. So I just pray these things now in your son's name. Amen. So he starts out at the beginning with this simple and pretty much all-encompassing statement. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. That's a pretty broad idea. Anyone suffering, whether it's from some pain in your life, someone in your family who is in need, any kind of suffering. It's a real general term. Let him pray. James is saying, if something bad is happening in your life, you need to take it to God. You need to give that up to him right away. And he goes on to say, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. It's sort of the flip side. If nothing bad is happening, certainly something good is happening in your life. Give that up in praise to God. He wants to know, he wants to hear from us what is going on in our lives. So, and someone after the first service said, we are constantly praying. Our lives are designed for worshiping God. And we worship him in prayer. So if something bad is happening, you need to be telling God about that, going to him with that issue. If something good is happening, same thing. Let God know. Sing a song of praise to him. Pray a prayer of praise. Just let him know that things are going well, and you are glad for that. In our junior high and high school Sunday school class each week, we spend a time in prayer. We just, right before we get started, we go around the room and ask if there's anything, and we write on the board, prayers and praises, because that's all encompassing. Either things are going well or things aren't, and we can pray about those things. And if nobody raises their hand, which happens sometimes, a little timid, I'd say, is there nothing good going on in your life you want to thank God for? Surely there's something good, and if not, then there's probably an issue. We need to give it up to God. So James just begins with, are you suffering? Are you cheerful? Pray to God. Verse 14, he says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This is can be a difficult verse. When I was studying this passage, and I was hung up on that word sickness. Is this a sickness? Is this purely a physical sickness, an ailment in my physical body, or is this a spiritual sickness, or is this a combination of both? And so I wrestled with this for a while, and finally I went to a source that I know I'm confident that is very knowledgeable in some of these things. I called my dad. I said, Dad, help! Like, I think I know what's going on here, but I need some help. So, he was right. There's really three things that the Bible mentions in regards to sickness. There are three categories, if you will. The first one is sickness in relation to sin. Physical sickness that is caused by sin in our lives, whether it's depression, we're experiencing depression, can be related to some sin in our lives. Heart issues and things like that can be attributed to stress and sin in our lives. So the Bible mentions that there is sickness from sin specifically. And it's pretty easy to tell usually if you're experiencing sickness and you ask yourself, is there sin in my life? You can usually tell. So the first one is sickness is in as a cause from sin. The second thing the Bible mentions regarding sickness is sickness for the glory of God. The reason for the sickness is so that in the healing, God is glorified. And see this in the story of Jesus and the healing of the blind man in John chapter 9. The disciples ask Jesus, Teacher, why is this man blind? Who sinned? Was it his sin or his parents' sin? Because it was common to attribute sickness to sin. And Jesus answered and said, neither. This man has sinned nor his parents' sin that it caused his blindness. He is blind so that God can be glorified in the healing. And he healed him and God was glorified. So the second kind of sickness mentioned in the Bible is sickness for the glory of God. The third kind and final kind of sickness is simply the fallout from the fall of man. We are fallen. When Adam sinned in the garden, our bodies were destined for eventual death, and sickness is a product of that. So sometimes you're just sick. You get the flu. I had a flu shot this year, and I got the flu. There's no preventing it. Like, you get sick. It's part of life. It's part of being a human being on earth in our time. It's just part of our fallen bodies. So the three kinds of sickness from sin, some cause and effect in our life, sickness for the glory of God, a sickness that's caused so that God can be glorified, and sometimes you're just sick. So I believe the passage here we're talking about leads itself to believe this is sickness due from sin. Because if we read on, we see that forgiveness is also entailed here. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So we see that there is some cause and effect from sin in the life that causes sickness. I want to stop, too, and look at this section of anointing him with oil. We are familiar with anointing with oil, mostly in the Old Testament, as kings were anointed for kingship and things like that. It was a symbol that God has chosen this person to do some specific task. It's not exactly what's going on here. The literal translation would translate into a rubbing with oil rather than a ceremonially anointing with the oil. So it's more of a symbol of, the oil was first of all a symbol of God's presence and his Holy Spirit. So coming and encouraging that person in their sickness and bringing the oil and just encouraging them that God is with them. God will care for them. Secondly would be the oil is possibly medicinal. At the James time of day, oil was commonly used for medicinal purposes. So if someone's sick, bring some oil and rub that in the wounds or whatever. Of course, that doesn't apply completely because not all sicknesses can be affected with oil, but it's a possibility. In fact, the story of the Good Samaritan mentions that specifically as the Good Samaritan, if you remember the story, after he left the man at the inn and he'd rubbed oil and wine in his wounds to help them heal. So oil is a medicinal purpose. And then lastly, it could also be in reference to grooming. Very common in this time of day to use oil on the head and just to refreshen, and especially someone who is sick like this really could use some refreshment and encouragement. So the application of the oil just to revive them, make them feel better. Jesus mentioned it's mentioned in the book of Luke where the woman poured oil on Jesus' feet. And in fact, it even goes on further in the passage that says, he's talking to Simon, the owner of the house, and says, you know, when I entered your home, you didn't provide oil for my head, yet this woman has washed my feet with her tears and put oil on my feet as an anointing, just encouraging. So there are different ways that we can encourage each other too when we're feeling ill and sick and in need of prayer. Verse 15, it continues, the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The prayer of the faith is really twofold here. There's the person who is sick, who's ill and at home, unable to do anything. And then there's the faith on the part of the elders, where it says in verse 14, call on the elders and let them come and pray. So the person who is sick is showing faith in prayer by picking up the phone and saying, would you come and pray with me? And he's calling some men who God has raised up as spiritual leaders over the church, knowing that they will be faithful in praying for him. So it's really twofold. The prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick. And it says, if he committed sins, he will be forgiven. Again, just reinforcing that cause and effect. Is there sin in your life? Is it causing you illness and struggle? Give it up to God. Verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and is working. Confess your sins to each other. That's key. I think we struggle with that sometimes. The breaking out of that comfort zone of, should I confess my sins around these other people? But it's really encouraging that James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for one another. That's the key. That you're praying with a group of people and God has laid on your heart some sin in your life and you need to pray it up to him. You have brothers and sisters around you that can pray for you specifically on that sin. I meet with a couple of groups throughout the week and some of the guys I meet and pray with, and I almost look forward to that time of confession. It's so encouraging praying with some other guy, a group of guys that I know, as I'm struggling with something, they're praying for me. They're faithfully coming before God and saying, would you help Dave with this, whatever it is? If you don't meet with a group of people to pray during the week, you need to. Man, it is powerful stuff. It is great to see God work in each other's lives. In verse 17, James continues on and talks about Elijah. Says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore fruit. And James is mentioning Elijah here as... he's writing to the Jews. The first part of the book, he establishes that he's writing this to the 12 tribes that are dispersed. And Elijah is a very familiar figure in Jewish heritage. He's probably what we would deem modern-day superhero. Elijah had great faith and did awesome things for God. But he adds in there, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Now he's talking, he's really... telling the people that Elijah was just a man, just like you and I. God can use anybody, and he used Elijah, and he can use you too. Elijah is a human being and has a nature like ours. And he says he prayed fervently that it might not rain. I find that funny because if you go to 1 Kings where Elijah's praying this prayer, it's like a line and a half. God, that it will not rain. And it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed fervently and effectively, and he knew God's will, and God answered that. But he was just a man like you or I. And when I was thinking in terms of how unapproachable, you think of Elijah, and the Jews think of Elijah, and it's like, whoa, Elijah, that guy did some things. And I'm looking back, and there are people in our day and age that we might say the same thing. D.L. Moody came to mind, Billy Graham, are guys that have just done awesome stuff. And you might say, yeah, you can do that, like Billy Graham, like, yeah, right. Those guys are awesome. No, they're human beings just like you or I. God can use them, God can use you. Just pray fervently, and he will answer your prayer. And the last part here, starting in verse 19. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. It's an interesting way to close the book. James doesn't say farewell, see you next time. He leaves us with this one little command, but it's really important. It says, if someone wanders from the truth, so if someone has backslidden, they've wandered away from walking in the will of God, they're sinning, something is going on in their lives where things are going along great, but now they're not. It says, whoever brings him back, let him know that whoever brings a sinner back from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. When we're talking about sickness in relation to sin, the final blow in that chain of events where sin is in life, sickness takes its hold, and you can die from that. If you see someone, a brother or a sister, who is struggling and living in sin, be encouraged, knowing that if you talk to them and pray with them, take the time to work with them and convict them of that sin and let them know they need to be walking with the will in the will of the Lord, you can save them from death. You can prevent them from dying prematurely because of their life choices and cover a multitude of sins. I believe that's death-related also. There's many different ways that the sin, sickness from sin in our lives can deteriorate to the point where your body can't take it anymore. It gives up. So my challenge is, confess your sins, pray regularly with God. In the beginning of the passage, it says, when we're talking about praying, regardless of what's going on, suffering or cheerfulness, good things or bad. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We are constantly communicating with our God, whether things are going well, things are going poorly. And the challenge is to remember that at all times. And in fact, I had Amy put on this month's newsletter, you'll be getting here sometime in the next week, right on the front, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It's a reminder that no matter where you are, what you're doing, you're communicating with God. You need to remember that. The things that are coming out of your mouth, because we are created as worshipful beings, God is hearing them. So be praying, be thanking him, be asking for his help. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to talk to you regularly. I also challenge you to pray according to God's will. 1 John 5:14 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Praying according to God's will. How do you know God's will? You got to open this up. You got to read it. It's in there. The book of James, if you start from the beginning and go all the way through, you'll be challenged. It's good stuff. Open his word. And you can pray God's word. God, if you're not sure what to pray, don't know where to start, open the Psalms and just start just pray the Psalms to God. You will be blessed. I've had a lot of fun doing that in some of my prayer groups and just praying the Psalms and personalizing them to be personal prayers to God too. Sing praises to God. When we sing songs to God, we are praying to him. We're praising him for things he has done in our lives. We're asking him for things. The songs we sang this morning, we were offering up as prayers to God. So you can sing to God as well. And just remember, if you were here when Dr. Art Azurdia was here, he said, when you pray, pray in such a way that when God answers your prayer, ask for things that when God does it, when God answers the prayer, that only he gets the glory. So when you pray, ask God for what you want him to do so that when he does it, he alone gets the glory. If you don't pray regularly with a group of people at your church, here, wherever, and I encourage you to. It's such an encouraging time. The people that I pray with during the week, man, I look forward to that. Praising God together, confessing sin together, praying together. We have several opportunities throughout the week. There's a small group of us that meet here Tuesday mornings at 5:30 in the morning. Yep, at 5:30 in the morning. You can come here and pray. It's early, I know. And Wednesday, we have several throughout the day at 6:30, 12 o'clock, and 7 p.m. right here at the church. And then there's a new group starting up Thursday morning at 6:30. And if you don't already pray with the group, come and join one of those times. It's just an encouraging time of communication with our God. And then next week, next Sunday night, since we couldn't do it tonight, there's other events going on, and the Labor Day weekend, we're going to do a concert of prayer, which is just a time where we can spend praying together as a family, as a church body. We'll meet at 6 o'clock and pray probably the whole time. You may as tell quickly time flies when you're praising God. So next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, join us, please. Last thing. A rabbi was teaching his students on preparation for death and on repentance. One of the students asked, "Rabbi, when should a man repent?" And the rabbi responded, "Repent a day before your death." His students were confused. "How can a man know the day of his death?" they asked. His answer, "He cannot. And since he may die tomorrow, it is all the more necessary for him to repent today." Would you close with me in a word of prayer? Father God, we just thank you for the gift of your word and the encouraging words of James and the reminder of the need to pray and communicate with you regularly. Every minute of every day should be offering praise to you or seeking your intervention in some area in our lives. Just thank you for that free communication we have with you and the effect we know you have in our lives. Pray now as we go out into our week that we would seek a time with you, a time of personal prayer, in a time of praying with other believers. And I pray that you would encourage us in that. In your son's name, amen.